Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Okay. Well, good morning, guys. You can hear me now, yeah? Yeah, this modern technology. Yeah, there's so much that goes on here, guys. But anyway, it's good to see you. We've got a new series we're starting today, and it's called The Battle for Our Minds. And BE's now going to read us from Ephesians and Matthew. Over to you, BE.
Reading from Ephesians 4:23-24. Be made new in the attitude of your mind and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The next reading is from Matthew 8:16-17. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took upon our infirmities and bore our diseases.
Amen. Praise the Lord for his word there. So as we enter this, I'm really looking forward to this series because I believe that it's going to lift the heaviness off of the people, so many people that we see in the world right now. And I believe that the greatest need for us as we come out of lockdown is to regain our right minds. And so have you ever made a choice when you're not in your right mind? Yeah, maybe when you've had one or two too many glasses of wine, you've made a choice and you wake up the next day and you think, oh my word, what have I done? Or maybe you've got angry recently and you've sent someone a text or you've said something, and then the next day you think, oh my word, I've got to put that right now. Well, it's because you've made it when you're not in your right mind. But the serious side of it is that lockdown now has put people in a position where 85% of adults are suffering from stress. And half of them are saying that it's too much stress for them to cope with. And the truth is that lockdown has affected the mental health of the whole of our nation and the whole of the world. The good news in that is that Jesus has got a lot to say about mental health, and the gospel is the answer to it all. And we see with this passage that BE just read out that Jesus was dealing with some deep issues and healing them of that. Just like Delvina got healed, well, Jesus was healing people of all sorts of issues. And then Paul picks up on that and starts telling us there is a battle for our mind as well that God wants to heal. And so right at the start, guys, if we're going to transform, this is our mission statement, if we're going to transform the people of London and beyond by showing them who God really is and plant churches wherever God has called us to plant around this world to the ends of the earth, we need to be in a healthy place. We need to be in our right minds. We need to win that war. We cannot win it on our own. Jesus will win it for us if we allow him. Can I hear an amen to that,
amen.
Church? Come on. Here we go. So in this series, we're going to be looking at anxiety and stress. Let me ask you the question. Is anyone stressed out right now? I'll put my hand up. This technological stuff freaks me out, I can tell you. And that is good. At least we can meet this way. But is anyone stressed out? I'm probably better off saying, is anyone not stressed out? You know, it's easier to count, apart from Adam. You know, he never is. Well, then we're going to look at fear, because fear stops us becoming all that God wants us to be. Then we're going to look at anger and grief. And has anyone found that their anger levels have risen over lockdown? We're going to deal with that one. We got doubt and depression and worry about the future. And so as we learn to hear what God says about all this, we will start to overcome. We'll start to break free and find freedom for ourselves and also to be equipped to minister to the people out there in the world. And let me say this, guys, from the start. this really is a hurting world that we're in right now. As we come out of lockdown, and the people I speak to, there's people fearful of going outside right now, of doing just the normal things that they used to do. It's going to take time. But we want to be equipped to minister to them and help them as well as ourselves. And we will also be learning to trust in God and his promises, like Isaiah 61:3 says this, that God will give us, if we come to him, a crown of beauty instead of ashes. He will give us the oil of joy instead of mourning. And he'll give us a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Are you up for that, church? You know, first of all, for you, that transformation, you know, that picture that God keeps giving me. The sun is going to come up. There is darkness in our minds now. We've been locked down, imprisoned. I was in Pentonville the other day and I saw what it was like to be locked up and these guys stuck in there, can't get out. We've been like that for a whole year now. And it's just going to take a little bit of time for the light to come back, for the lightness to come, for us to get you. The sun is rising, guys. And that's what God wants for us, so that we then can go out and help others that find themselves in that position. But let me say this, guys. Don't waste this time, church. It's a one-off moment in your lifetime. You're not likely to end up in Pentonville where you've got more time to think about your life. Well, hopefully not anyway, unless you're working in there. But this is the time to rethink the big why of life. When was the last time you questioned yourself, why do I do what I do? Why is it that I give me a whole life to these things? You know, and it is time to work out what is important in life and what is not. And what isn't important, it's time to ditch that. You know, with lockdown coming to an end, I've seen it in Chapel Market, in the streets up here, absolutely mobbed and stacked out with people. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But when people, it's like what I've seen is like the trap doors have opened and people are rushing out to spend the money they've saved and get back to all the things, the clubbing, the pubbing, and all the things that they did that they haven't done. And some of it isn't good. Some of it isn't. God doesn't want us running back out like that. He wants us to rethink our life, to press the reset button at this time, to recalibrate, rethink about life, to renew life, and ask yourself the question, don't run back to the old things, the old way of church, the old way we did it. It's not going to be like that. No, God wants us more fruitful in this season. So what are you going to spend your time on? What are you going to spend your money on? What are you going to do with the resources that God has given you, the skills and the abilities that God has given you? Debbie gave a word yesterday about burying the treasure or investing it and getting loads more. The one who buried it, God said, you evil person. No, God is calling us out to spend what he's put in us, to give him what's due his financially and with our time. He needs first place in our life. Redo it, guys. Reset that button and make the most of your life. What I would love to do is for everyone in the world to get before Jesus and be able to say, for him to say, you used what I gave you well. Well done. Well done. Come on. And so the problem is, you know, with mental health at this time, nobody wants to talk about it, do they? You know, if you break your leg, it's taken for granted. You're going to go to hospital. They'll put a little pot on it and I don't know, 8 weeks later, it's mended. Let me just say, they don't even know why it mends. No doctor will tell you, how does a bone reshape itself and grow? How does it know it's supposed to do that? When the answer is God. We know that, guys. We know that. But with mental health, it's not kind of like that. And so people keep it to themselves. They keep it closed in. They won't speak about it. And I'll say at this point that sometimes medical help is needed. The doctors are good. The prescriptions are good. You know, sometimes the mental health issues are all part of the fall, where our minds and the chemicals in our mind are imbalanced because sin is in the world, we are a broken people, and just Things don't work properly in our minds. But nowadays, doctors have tablets that will equalize the imbalance that's in our mind. It's not like the old days with Prozac where you end up a zombie. It just equalizes the chemical imbalance that came to us through the fall, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I would encourage you to do it, and so that you can live a normal life. But always we go to Jesus first. We always go to him first because we're a people of faith. But there's still faith in taking the doctor's advice. They're there. It's all part of God's healing process. But we all know, if we look at it and think about it, some people that have got mental health issues. Now, I grew up with someone who suffered really with that, and it was never recognised, but we all knew that he did, you know. And the guy, he had such a sweet heart, but not many people got to see that because of his condition. And mentally, he was just different from everybody else. Everybody knew it, it just wasn't talked about. And so over the years, I saw how he was bullied at school, ridiculed because he was different. And it just reminded me of this bird that flew into our garden once. It got free from a zoo, and it was multicoloured. And all what happened was the magpies and the jays all attacked it, pecking away at it until it would die because it was different. And it's odd that human beings can do that to other human beings just because they're a little bit different. But that is what happens, and that's what we saw. With that bird, we got the RSPCA to come up and rescue him. But many don't get rescued. But I saw as he went through life that he was bullied and picked on like that. And because of that, he didn't have many friends at school. And then when he left school, it was really difficult for him to get a job. And when he did get a job, it was very hard for him to keep that down. And then I watched and saw how the same mental health issues disintegrated his marriage. And it was so painful to watch. And we don't want our people going through that. God doesn't want our people going through that. You know, at this time, 50% of people will suffer with mental health at some point in their life. That means there's a lot of our people going through this stuff right now. And one study has showed this, that 56% of young adults are suffering anxiety and depression. One in four are having suicidal thoughts at times. Many turn into alcohol and substance abuse because of it. And because of lockdown, you know, we're starting to develop psychological disorders, social isolation worries. One in three will suffer sleep loss. And that's not just the young. We know some of our adults that are suffering because of that right now. It's a deep issue that needs addressing, and that's what we're doing over these weeks, to help people that struggle. And the good news is, there's good news because Jesus came to free us up, set the captives free, release the prisoners, and that's what he wants to do with us. And I've been looking at, there's a guy called Rick Warren, we love him here, we've done a few of his campaigns and that, but he had a son who struggled all his life with mental health until he got, I think he was about 30, something like that, and he ended up committing suicide. He ended his life. And so Rick has spent a lot of time going into that. We're going to lean into some of that stuff in a minute. But there's a website for anyone who wants to learn more, and it's called Hope for Mental Health. I recommend it. Go there if you want to find out more of this stuff, or point others to that. But some of that is this. First off, what do we do? Well, speak to yourself. Be honest with yourself. What condition is your mind in as we come out of lockdown? What condition is there? David, what we saw in Psalm 42, it is, if you want to look it up. David spoke to himself and he said, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" He didn't ignore it. He saw what was there. You know what he did? He took it to God and he spoke to himself. "Why? Go to God, the God of glory. He will lift you up." He spoke to himself right at the start. But then Rick gives us this. It's like a circle of hope, something to remind yourself and speak to yourself every day. And first of all, it's this. Look, first, you speak to yourself, and you are loved by God. Each one of you, God's love for you is new every morning. Lamentations 3:22, one of my favorite Bible verses. Remind yourself of that. And then remind yourself that there is a purpose for you in life, that God has created you for a purpose. And then remind yourself that you belong, that there is a home here, there is a place for you, a place of safety. And then next, that you have a choice. You don't have to stay where you are. You can come to Jesus. You can ask him for help. And he's only too willing to help you in whatever situation you're in. And lastly, that you are needed. You are needed. God created you for a place, a purpose, and you are very much needed in this body. And so we remind ourselves every day. Let's try that now. Let's walk through that whole circle, because then it starts again. Say after me, I am loved by God. I have a purpose in life. I belong. I have a home. I am wanted. And I choose to go to Jesus because he loves me. And he wants to help me. And lastly, I am needed. And there is a place for me in this life and in eternity. Doesn't that make you feel better already? Doesn't it? You know, that just that little circle of hope there, that for a healthy mind, just for yourself, every day, every time you come to that place where you start getting slaughtered by Satan, you're no good, you're rubbish, you're this, that and the other, or you might meet someone, you know that they're in that position. Give them this circle of life, this healthy mind, just to keep repeating over yourself. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. But the truth is, so why do we have to do that? Okay, all of us suffer in different ways, to different degrees. And what we want to look at is what the Bible says about our condition. And first of all, the Bible says, look, it doesn't matter what condition you're in. Whether you suffer from anxiety, depression, real mental health, where it affects your whole life, look, you are made in the image of God. You have dignity because he made you, wonderfully created you while you were in your mother's womb, he said. You are made with a purpose. You were made by God, for God, and made for his glory. And that's everybody. Everybody has dignity. Secondly, all of us are broken. Romans 3:23 says, we all know that one, that we all fall short of the glory of God. None of us measures up to his righteousness, his purity. We've all got weaknesses and failures and fears, phobias and worries and obsessive thoughts that dominate our minds. So we can't really get on with life as we want to, because something that happened years ago starts to come back in our mind and plan over and over again. And it just demands our time, and it just overtakes our life and robs us of God's best. Guys, none of us is perfect, not here. You know, I always quote that Rick saying that you're not okay and I'm not okay. But that's okay. We're all on that journey together. And so we all come before God humbly and ask him to minister in our lives. We are all together on this. And some of our brokenness is very visible to others. Some of it is. But some of it isn't, and we hide it. And you know, the truth is that some of our brokenness, we can't even see ourselves. We don't know. Others might see it, but we don't. Just like that person I was speaking about earlier, he wasn't aware. In them days, they weren't helped. Much more help is available now. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, have hope. If we come to Jesus, he will help make us more like him. That means he will rebuild us by his Spirit powerfully going to work in us. He will rid us of all this stuff from our minds. He will help us as we read about him. We see how beautiful he was, how loving and caring and compassionate. And we match that up to us. His spirit transforms us. And we start to win the battle for our minds. We start to be able to think clearly again about what we're going to do in life, what we're not going to do in life, so that we're productive and fruitful and overflowing with the presence of God in life. What about you? In your life, come on, hands up, guys. Where have you been? What have you struggled with in life? Because I know for me that I suffered, I battled with shame as I grew up. Why? Because my family were odd. They were different. They were so different. But I just suffered shame because of it, because I knew they didn't. I knew that they were different. And I worried just about everything. I worried about everything. It was a family trait. Paranoia thrown in there as well. Worried that we'd run out of money. Worried that I wouldn't be accepted because we didn't have enough money to buy the clothes that everyone else was wearing. Odd. I had suicidal thoughts when I got to about 19, 20, them early days. It was so pressured. I just thought, you know what? I'm better off out of it. And then I suffered massively with anger and rage, and it got even worse in my 20s. It didn't get better as I became a man. It got worse and ended up fighting just about everybody. Well, guys, actually I mentioned rejection because I was left on my own as a baby. It wasn't my family's fault. But there was that rejection. Now, all this stuff, how do I know all that? Because I've walked with Jesus. And Jesus has revealed it to me. Why? He wants to reveal it so he can deal with it. And that's what he wants to do with us over these weeks. Reveal it to deal with it. Not to ridicule you, to say, look, you can live a better life without this stuff. Just get it out. Get it out. So is any of that you? And it could be 101 other things that you've suffered from in this broken world that we kind of live in. But the good news is Jesus really is the solution. If you've made him your God, your Lord, it says this in 2 Corinthians 3:17. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So he came to set you free. He set me for a walk with him for years now, 30 years. Now, I'm not saying that I'm completely free of that stuff. Boy, am I! They don't scream at me anymore. It's like a distant little sound, and most of it I don't hear at all, anyway. But God has done it for me. I walk with Jesus, and I want you to walk with him in the same way, so that he can do the same for you, and even greater things than these. The Bible says that's what he wants to do with us. Thirdly. Even though we must notice that even though we're broken, that God loves us. And we need to understand his love, not ours. You measure it up to your love, my love, it's not worth a lot, I can tell you now. But Jesus said this in Jeremiah 31:3, that I love you with an everlasting love. And you know what that means? That God has loved you always before you were created. He loves you into all eternity, knows everything you're going to do, and he loves you with that. He loves you with an infinite love. That means there's no limit to his love. That it is vast beyond. Just picture the whole seas of the whole world being God's love. He's got vastly more love for you, just for you, than all of that. Just for you. His thoughts about you are more than the grains of the sand on the seashores of the world. That's beyond our understanding, guys. Beyond. His love for you is pure and holy. And you are his treasured possession. Someone needs to hear that today, church. Someone needs to hear that right now. I feel better for hearing it myself. But think of who you could share that with. Think about it. Then we grow out of this stuff in community. We get well. Jesus heals us of all that when we're together. And one of the sayings in this church is we don't want anyone to be on their own. Do you know how many people out there are dealing with this stuff with no family, no friends, no help at all, isolated on their own? Guys, we've got a work to do. We've got a work to do, because that isolation, even for us that are in community, what it's done to us, we need that lifting off of us, because it can be so harmful. And some people are going to find it was more harmful than actually COVID itself. So we need to help. Hebrews 10:5 says this: don't neglect meeting together like some people do. And so I can't wait, like Sam said earlier, to get back on the 23rd, that we can be together. You know, we can be as one. It's time to reset, guys, and make our meetings on a Sunday the most important thing we do all week. It's being together. Do you know how many times I've seen people healed of all sorts of sicknesses and suffering and mental health just by coming in to be part of a small group or the church? Healing happens because God is a healing God. And the power, the glory is so much more powerful when we meet together. God called us out to be family. And when we're family together, in unity together, boy, do we see people launch forward in their walk and their faith. And this whole mental health thing clears from their mind. We start seeing them making good decisions, great decisions, because they've got their mind back. And that's what we want. And lastly, motoring on. What isn't healed in this life, this side of heaven, will be healed when we get up there. We know that. We know that. But the thing is this, that while we're on this earth, this broken earth, this fallen earth, this brokenness everywhere, we live amongst God's love, yes. But we live amongst the pain as well, because sin is here. Evil in all its forms is here. But we know the end. We will suffer, just like Jesus suffered, so that he could help and save some like us. He lived his life for others. So will we. It will be painful. But in the end, we know the outcome. Praise God. Revelations 21:4 says that he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. We will get new bodies from God. Absolutely perfect bodies. I can't wait for that one, guys. We know that. And we live under some wonderful prophetic words that God has given us as a church, that we are to be a spiritual A&E, that we accept people where they are, wherever they are. If God's brought them, we love them and keep them. We want to do the best for them. And we love broken people back to life and give them a future. And so, church, if we're going to transform the people of London and beyond by showing them who God really is, that's what we do. We need God's help. And good news, God has sent us his Holy Spirit, the presence of God, to help us. So we need to allow, at the beginning of this series, the Holy Spirit to minister into our hearts, my heart, your heart, this morning. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to start flowing through us, to minister into the people that God has surrounded us with in the communities. Paul said this practically, daily, each one of us, in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, and be patient with them all. Let's just raise our hands and just receive from God now. Let's just receive. If you know what? If you've lived your life and your life has just been one big battleground, you've suffered stress, you've suffered anxiety, fear, rejection, doubt, depression, all that the enemy would bombard our hearts with, and you've never asked for help, you've never come to Jesus for help, you've never made him your Lord in life, let's come to him right now. You can receive him as your Lord right now. Simply say, Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. I thank you that you died on a cross for me. I believe that you rose from the dead and you want to come into my heart right now. I ask you to come into my heart. I want you to help me through this life. I want the oil of gladness, God. I want the depression to go. Gladness instead of ashes, Lord. Oh, bring it upon me, God. Bring it upon me. If that's you and you've said that for the first time, get in touch. I've got some stuff I'd love to give to you. But for everybody else, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come now. So just posture yourself humbly before your God right now, because he wants to do a work in your heart and my heart and in the heart of this church. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come upon us, Lord. God, you show, you see right inside my heart. You know everything that is there. Guys, you need to know as you let God into your heart like that, he is gentle, he is lowly. He's the most powerful being in the whole universe ever, but he's the most gentle being in the universe. God, come. He loves you. You're the apple of his eye. You can trust him. You can trust him with your heart. So have you been stressing out? I put my hand up to that this morning. Yeah. Has it become too much? Give it to God. Let him take it. Holy Spirit, come into our hearts. Come, that's it. You feel that warmth in your heart? He's taking the coldness, the toxic stuff that's there. Holy Spirit, come. Have you felt doubt creeping in over this time? Maybe anxiety. Anxious, anxious, anxious. Maybe loneliness has crept in. Loneliness is such a painful master. It's horrible. God, take it by your Spirit. Take it, Lord. Where the fear has got in. Oh, Jesus, take it. Take it, Lord. Touch the Lord Jesus, guys. Touch him. Touch him. Maybe, yeah, if you're honest, you know that your anger levels have risen. Some quite a lot. Give it to God. We're sorry, God. We're sorry we reacted in the way that we did. We said, perhaps said things we shouldn't. Take it, Lord. And maybe depression or even suicide thoughts. Take it, Lord. Take it, Lord. You can trust him, guys. You can trust him this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Reset your life, guys. This is the time. This is the time. Don't waste this time. It's a once-in-a-lifetime moment. As we go through these different aspects of mental health, it's going to release us and free us and help us to be all that we need to be. And everybody in the house said, amen. Praise the Lord. If you've been watching online, fantastic. It's great you're watching online. On the 23rd, do come in and see us in person. We're all going to be there. It's going to be fantastic. I hope this has blessed you. And guys, what I want to say is I look forward to seeing you next Sunday morning at 10:30. Be there. It's going to be a great service. Come on. Say goodbye to our online people. And for the rest of